Bad News Reinvention 2007 podcasts are a series of interviews in which we ask thought leaders and innovators at the forefront of the marketing and communication industries six key questions. In Series 4, we examine the future for agencies and how the current business model is being forced to adapt to a new marketing environment. We explore the drivers behind the trend towards reinvention and understand the challenges this presents to agencies in the future.
Welcome to Ad News Reinvention 2007 podcasts. I'm Peter Stevenson from On Communications, and we're about to talk with Colin Wilson-Brown, principal of The Clinic, one of Australia's leading agency assessment companies. Good morning, Colin. Welcome to Six Questions.
Good morning, Peter, and hello to all your listeners.
Colin, we're here today to talk about how marketers are adapting to an era of increased consumer control and how agencies are evolving to meet those demands. At this point, we see many of Australia's marketers restructuring their processes as they adapt to the new marketing environment. What do you see as the biggest challenge they face in managing the sheer speed of change?
I think you've already answered the question, Peter. I think it's the biggest challenge, I think, is the speed of change. And most clients are struggling to come to grips with this. In my experience working with something like 40 advertisers over the past 4 years, and their agencies, of course, and prospective agencies, it's the agencies, I think, that are restructuring their skills and processes, not the clients.
So the agencies are adapting quite well?
Well, I think they are. Look, the advertising industry has always evolved in a fairly predictable way, Peter. It's as new marketing opportunities emerge, whether it be in sales promotion, direct marketing, CRM, internet, commercial content, or indeed podcasting. I think these opportunities are seized by specialists, and as they become more mainstream, more commercially viable, then the larger agencies embrace the new discipline and acquire those new skills, whether that be by recruitment or acquisition. And I think the challenge for marketers is to decide whether they have the expertise to buy the skills they need from multiple suppliers, which certainly happens in sort of early on when you're seeing new developments, or whether they should buy them from a single source. And I think that as the market becomes more complex in terms of the challenges in making connections with potential consumers, then the trend will be to choose agencies which can provide holistic solutions, agencies that know how to sort of put the whole thing together.
And to be able to provide an integrated solution.
Yes, I think there's different ways of providing that integrated solution. It's not the same for all people. You can go to agencies like Clemenger, for example, where Robert Morgan once described the network as a shopping mall for marketing communications. So it's kind of all there, but they're through different companies. Same is true of the STW network, although they now are sort of putting theirs together through this kind of STW Village concept that they introduced for Combank and more recently for IAG. That's kind of one model. Bill Giovanni Williams Mackay, Paul Williams talks about the hub for marketing communications, where again they've sort of acquired businesses but also developed skills so they can provide clients like Big Pond with a sort of structure, unlike perhaps 5 years ago when it might have been just doing the commercials. So that's kind of one model where agencies are putting together networks, pods, if you like, of skills that they can actually pull together, and clients can either buy within those pools or they can actually cherry pick and choose to use specialist suppliers as well. There's still always opportunity for kind of people like yourself who are sort of groundbreaking in new channels as well. So I don't think that's not going to go away. The other model that I think is developing is the one where agencies are building integrated teams within the agency, frequently with one bottom line. Agencies like BMF, DDB, Leo Burnett, Publicis Mojo have all kind of restructured to build integrated teams which can overcome the sort of silo approach, and there you get account management, strategy and creative teams comprising people with brand, direct marketing and digital experience, sort of integrated teams providing integrated thinking, not just execution.
And I think too, when that happens, what you find is if you've got a blended P&L, then all the egos are gone and what you get is people focusing on solving business problems.
Yeah, look, work. I think that's a big, great advantage. I mean, not everybody does that. I guess it's difficult when you've actually bought lots of businesses to do that, because they have their own earn-outs and profit targets. But I think where you can actually constructure it into one bottom line, as you say, the egos disappear and you get sort of the thinking right from the very start will come from ideas rather than the sort of traditional model where it comes from a television commercial and then the various other specialists are asked to execute or sort of take the idea and adapt that to their own medium, which doesn't necessarily produce integrated ideas, although it kind of all looks the same. It's what Matthew Mulhuish rather nicely calls matching luggage.
Matching luggage, but sometimes the idea doesn't work as well, does it?
That's right, that's right.
Colin, it's really apparent when we look in the future of our industry that agencies will undergo quite a dramatic transformation and the nature of creativity itself will evolve. What new skills do you see that agencies will need to have to provide effective creative solutions in the future?
I think we're in a kind of process of dramatic change, as you say, which is exciting. I think it's probably the most exciting time for, I don't know about ever, but certainly for decades in the advertising business. It's only a shame I'm too old to participate in it, really, in a direct sense. but I do in an indirect sense.
You certainly do, Colin.
Some with agencies and clients. I think clearly the most obvious is the growth in digital capabilities. An example of this is that Publicis, I think they have 42 digital staff. 5 years ago, they had 4. I mean, that's a dramatic change, and of course, they're not the only agency to sort of see that growth. Many agencies now have digital strategists as well as producers, so rather than just being a sort of functional executional skill, it's a thinking skill. Many of these people are actually involved in the right at the outset of idea generation. We're seeing a new generation of creative people. I mean, rather than the digital immigrants, probably like you and I, although you've done that rather well, who've had to come to digital and come to computers, you know, we didn't grow up with them. But the new generation of creative people, I think, will enable agencies to create content for websites, blogs, mobile phones, gaming, all the other on-screen channels. And they start from that point of view. They were born with it. They think like that. And I think those are exciting kind of opportunities demanding creativity and, of course, the new sort of skills of engagement and user involvement that we didn't have in the past. That's one change. Another change is now the need to work out how to connect with these people, how to reach them. This has led to the birth of sort of connections and channel planners. You know, I think this is very embryonic. People are still looking for people with those skills and looking for the titles. Again, I like the quote Matthew Mulhuish again. I don't want to give him too much credit, but I like the term that they use. They call them engagement planners, which sort of seems to cover both the channel and the content. But I think that's certainly a new and emerging skill. Another area which agencies are going to have to learn and are beginning to kind of make some progress at, or some of them are, is in content planning and creation. I think about 7 years ago, talking to Nicholas Davey about this, and I thought their notion of actually starting a unit to look at content creation was an excuse to get into the movie business. I think in another 7 years, content development immersion will be a mainstream agency skill. They're going to have to learn how to use the other available tools like, you know, events, point of purchase, all the environmental opportunities, promotions, all these things are blending together, and agencies just can't stick to the traditional, paid media silo that they used to work in. I don't think, incidentally, agencies have to execute through all those channels, just the same as they always just go to directors to produce television commercials. I think you can still, and still, they still will be working with specialists to execute the ideas, but they have to be able to orchestrate the whole thing.
What it seems to me, a picture you're painting, is that, you know, engagement marketing is where it's at. The old model of push marketing is dying, and what it will need is an ability to be able to plan across multiple channels and create that engagement. And so, really, in a funny way, still comes back to the power of a big idea, doesn't it?
Oh, I think so. Whatever medium it's executed, and usually it'll be multiple mediums, I think the big idea is still the thing. I think we've seen plenty of those around that have actually been executed through multiple channels, and I think they're so much richer and more exciting for that. You know, kind of thinking of Lohan's campaign for Lynx Jet, the Jason Donovan campaign for Virgin Mobile that Host produced. Mojo's Stuff History campaign for Nike during the World Cup. I mean, of course, some of these more youth-targeted products, I think, give greater opportunities to use the breadth of communications opportunities, certainly on the digital side. If you remember, DDB's Ashes campaign for Gatorade, which began with an online video on YouTube. The big ad from George Pats, which, of course, started as a viral campaign and has prompted clients around the country to say, hey, give me a viral campaign, because, of course, they're cheap to run. But, well, no, it actually doesn't happen like that. I mean, viral doesn't just happen. It's not a medium. It's a sort of creative opportunity.
I think the exciting time right now, too, is watching the way in which marketers are open to launching campaigns rather than the Sunday night roadblock. They're taking the approach you just mentioned, where they're quite open to seeding in messages and actually building that momentum in a slightly slower and direct fashion where the community will embrace it.
Yeah, I think one of the interesting things for those of us sort of observers of the industry is that often we simply don't see these campaigns. I mean, they're so more tightly targeted now against their own audience that unlike the days when we used to see television roadblocks and, you know, you always knew which the good agencies were because everybody had seen the commercial, whether it was directed at you or not. Now they're so much more narrowly focused using sort of micro-media targeting. We actually don't see them. You have to look at agency reels or something like that to see the creativity in many situations.
Colin, it's interesting when we look at the environment we're working in, the specialisation, the groups that you touched on earlier, the bigger groups. Collaboration seems to be pretty important for clients in the future. Where's your head at with that?
Look, I think it's absolutely vital. And it's been one of the biggest changes to have taken place, I think, in a sort of attitudinal shift in agencies over the last two or three years. Anybody who doesn't believe in collaboration is a dinosaur. I mean, no one has all the answers now, whatever you're looking at. And agency people have to learn to work together across disciplines. I mean, the notion of, the account management department sort of posts it into the creative department and doesn't come back until after lunch, and all that kind of those notions, and that creative ideas must come from the creative department, and if anybody else comes up with something, it's not acceptable. I mean, that's changed in probably all agencies, but those that haven't need to get with it pretty damn fast. And they also have to learn to work with other specialist partners without those walls and without sort of territorial debate. We now have agencies working with many other partners. I mean, most obviously the media partner. But I think you've got to, for a client, you actually want the agency, the creative agency and the media agency to come together with the one idea. You don't want to have to actually be playing sides with them or seeing them jockeying for position or trying to steal territory. Yeah, I think that's a great change. I was reading the Outdoor Awards in Ad News a couple of weeks ago, and I was admiring the Vodafone Post-it Note campaign, which you probably saw, which won.
Very clever, very clever.
Clever idea. JWT had deservedly won an award for it, but I was delighted to read the account director, whose name I can't recall, but paying tribute to the media agency Icon for first coming up with the idea. And I think that's a great demonstration of the spirit of collaboration. No, we did the creative work, but actually the idea came from the media agency. Just nice to see that being publicly aired, and a good demonstration, I think, of collaboration.
What's really great is, and we all use the expression, a good idea can come from anywhere, but I think these days creativity can live anywhere, and that's exciting. People will come up with a great idea, and through collaboration it can be developed and strengthened and taken into places that we never used to go.
Yes, with things like gaming, for example. I mean, the ideas exist in places that we would never have imagined even were media for campaigns. Call up another campaign that Icon did, Icon Communications for workplace safety, where the ads appeared on Portaloo doors, for example. Who'd imagine a Portaloo as a medium for communication? But what a good idea if you're talking about workplace safety.
Nothing is sacred at this point, Colin.
Someone else was in the toilet,
Mark. Hey, hang on, I don't want to know. Now, Colin, I know as you're in your role of chairman of the AFA Effectiveness Awards, this next question I think is one that's probably important or something that you have a point of view on, and that is, in this world, digital communication channels everywhere, The beauty of that is we get real-time response feedback. Do you think agencies need to be more responsive in how they assess that data, manage the data, and sort of, I suppose, live with a campaign in terms of understanding its effectiveness?
Definitely. Look, I think this sort of leads into a couple of fairly new and substantial issues for agencies. I'm not an expert in digital campaign evaluation, but what I do know is that campaign evaluation across the board is becoming increasingly important to clients, the issue of accountability, and at the same time it's becoming increasingly difficult to measure. It's pretty easy to measure response to a television campaign using brand tracking studies. It's easy to measure direct response campaigns through store traffic, call centres, web clicks or whatever. But with multimedia campaigns, I think it's very difficult to determine which parts are working and which aren't, and why, or how to learn to deploy the funds kind of more effectively. The best agencies know the importance of these learnings, and some are recruiting, data analysts to their strategy planning departments, people who can try to understand this data, which is terrific because I think it brings a new sort of accountable business skill to agencies, although I think it's fairly sort of early days for doing that. But I think there's another consequence for this. I think clients are not keen to pay for campaign evaluation, which kind of leads me to another issue. It's quite difficult these days for agencies to make healthy profits from these new, mostly digital but not entirely digital, creative channels. Too often digital is receiving the leftovers from the budget. And the work here is highly labor-intensive, much more so than writing a television commercial. So trying to actually make money out of these things, which agencies need to do to be able to invest in the talent, is actually quite difficult. And I think we need to be looking at new payment models that don't punish agencies for innovative, interactive, labor-intensive ideas. Quite what those new models are, I'm not sure, but I think a lot of thinking needs to go into this by agencies, by clients, and indeed by consultants like me.
It's really interesting because, just to wrap it up, when you look at the way in which consumers are controlling their media, they are demanding that campaigns are managed in a more real-time way. In other words, they're more dynamic. We've now got the tools on one hand, as you say, to measure these things, but it's a bit more labour-intensive to manage a campaign and tweak it on a real-time basis. Whilst it's a great challenge, there is a cost to the client and there is a workload that wasn't there before.
That's right.
It used to be set and forget and move on to the next one.
That's right, and I think if clients want agencies to do these things, as indeed they do, and agencies want to do them, it's an exciting new era. I mean, I think the old traditional payment models maybe don't work as effectively as we'd like them to.
Colin, it's been great to talk with you this morning. You've given us a lot to think about. We really thank you for taking the time this morning, and we've enjoyed it.
Oh, it's a pleasure to contribute. Thank you, Peter.
Terrific, Colin. Thanks very much, mate.
Bye-bye.
Ad News Reinvention 2007 podcasts are an initiative from Advertising News, On Communications and Stellar Sound. Ad News is Australia's top-selling advertising, marketing and media magazine. Visit oncom.com.au for marketing trend information and to register for the free fortnightly review newsletter. That's oncom.com.au.